Hey, Unnaturalists, I'm Andy.
And I'm Ryan.
And welcome to Unnatural, episode 115. But more importantly, Ryan's 10th episode.
Gasp.
Hey!
Thanks. <Aww. laughs> I mean, we've probably spent at least 20 hours talking, so
yeah,
it feels like it should be more, but it's been a good time, so
it has
didn't even notice
time.
It. Blink of an eye.
Yeah, and this episode is going to be interesting because it's in your home state. I had only heard about this recently, and it's a crazy one, so buckle up here. Minnesota resident Henry McCabe gained national attention back in 2015 after his mysterious disappearance and subsequent death. You see, McCabe went missing in early September of that year, sparking a widespread search effort by authorities along with volunteers. But his body wasn't found until nearly 2 months later in a local lake, and his death was ruled as a drowning. However, the circumstances surrounding his disappearance remained shrouded in mystery, with conflicting reports and speculation about the events leading up to his death, including the possibility of foul play. And it all started off with an enigmatic phone call that Henry's wife received from Henry at 2 o'clock in the morning. The phone call itself remains a controversial and hotly debated piece of audio, and you'll hear it for yourself in just a few moments. It's a phone call that will make the hair on your arm stand up. This is the story of the mysterious disappearance and death of Henry McCabe. We're back to your state for this one. Henry McCabe was a 32-year-old man who had immigrated to the U.S. from the West African nation of Liberia due to the long and brutally savage civil war that was going on over there, which killed over 200,000 people. He had been married to his wife, Corrine, for 11 years, and they had two children together, two adorable daughters. And they lived in the northern Twin Cities suburb of Moundsview. Now, Henry was an auditor for the Minnesota Department of Revenue, but he was proud of where he came from, too. He was an active participant in the Liberian community of Minnesota. Shortly before his disappearance, he had been talking openly about his dream of one day moving back to his homeland, where he hoped to eventually get into politics and make his country a better place. Some of his friends even said he had dreams of becoming president of Liberia one day. Those are some big ambitions to have. And by all accounts, he was a charismatic figure in the community and an excellent public speaker. So let's go to Labor Day weekend, 2015. Corrine was thousands of miles away in the state of California that weekend, and Henry had been making a day of it. As some people do when their spouse is gone, they decide to party it up as much as they can. So first, he met up with some of his buddies, and they went to a nearby barbecue. And it sounds like they were there for a while, and there were a lot of other Liberian immigrants there as well. And around 8 or 9, they decided to go out for a night of clubbing in the nearby town of Spring Lake Park. Henry was tagging along with one of his friends, William Kennedy, in the car. There was a withdrawal from his bank account at an ATM at 11:24 that night before the two headed to the club. It was for $200. While they were there, and this is according to William Kennedy, by the way, Henry spent much of his time talking with one of his other friends, a guy by the name of Jonathan Thomas, also known as JT. And Kennedy would later say that Henry even gave JT his wallet for the night, allegedly to make up for some favor that JT had given him. I heard a few different things regarding this. One of them was that it was to make up for a birthday that he had forgotten, but that's definitely odd, I would say.
Yeah, that's a weird, it's a weird excuse.
Well, and then I also heard another report that said that he had given JT his wallet and his keys for the night. Now, that one insinuated that maybe he was already too drunk and the guy was, I guess, trying to do him a favor by saying, hey, you can't drive and I don't want you to spend any more money buying booze. So he took his wallet and his keys. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Toward the end of the evening, William goes to leave and he finds that Henry is already standing next to his car waiting for a ride home. But Henry isn't just quietly waiting. He's in a heated argument on the phone. And by this point, William wants to get out of there, but he's kind of just sitting there awkwardly waiting for Henry to get off the phone with who he assumes is Henry's wife. Finally, Henry gets off the phone, and when William asks him for directions to where he lives, and this is where the first odd occurrence of this case transpires, Henry says, oh, you don't have to take me that far. Just drop me off at this gas station nearby. Remember what time it is. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but that's something my husband would do.
Okay. All right. Noted. Well, so to the gas station they go, and that's where William drops him off, and that's the last time he ever sees Henry. And as he's watching Henry when he's driving away, he says he doesn't see him walk into the gas station, but he's kind of walking on the side of the gas station. He later told investigators that Henry requested him that he be dropped off at the Super America gas station in Fridley, Minnesota, which is about 6 miles in the opposite direction. At 2:28 that morning, Henry's wife, Corrine, receives a call on her phone. And it's a call that's still being deciphered to this very day. Not because of what it said, Ryan, but rather what can be heard. But instead of describing it to you, why don't we roll the tape here, Ryan? Are you good with hearing this? You okay with this?
Well, I think I've seen some nasty shit before.
Well,
so.
Yeah, you're 10 episodes into the podcast now. You're already used to this.
You're like, what's wrong with you?
So this is about 2 minutes in length. And I know that's a long time. But given what we're dealing with here, I really think it's tantamount to telling this tale. Warning, some listeners might find what they're about to hear to be disturbing.
Thank you.
So what are your initial thoughts hearing that for the first time?
That's a chainsaw.
You think it's a chainsaw?
It sounds like a chainsaw being started, and then there's yelling.
But
because of the way microphones work, there's like background noise and then there's a voice. And usually, like, I don't know if you notice, like when you're doing phone calls and stuff, that you'll hear background noise really loud. And then when they start talking, it zooms it back in to the voice.
Yep.
And it sounds like that's what's happening with the phone recording.
Also, while you were listening to that, you mentioned it sounded like he had something in his mouth.
Like he had a gag, like a fabric gag.
And that's what I thought. Somebody had gagged him or something, or he had a ball in his mouth or something and he was being mutilated.
It sounds like one of the, like when people have like a t-shirt rolled up and like tied around their mouth because sound can still get out, but it deafens the noise.
Yeah. But it definitely sounds like he's being attacked in some way.
Yeah, it sounds sometimes like there's a chainsaw starting. Do you notice that?
I didn't notice the chainsaw, but I thought I noticed other voices.
Like, yeah, there was like the police were mentioned.
Well, and I heard him say stop. And I had read in a few places that other people thought they heard him say stop too. But some people think it's a wild animal attacking him. That it's almost like a carnal sound. And
okay,
there's a lot of different theories, but it was weird because the first time I played this, even my cat had a visceral reaction when I was playing this off my laptop. She straight up thought a predator was in my house.
And, I mean, that's the only likely reason.
But it was funny because I thought to myself, I'm like, well, if she thinks that, you know, then maybe she's onto something here. But also, so I heard this from a number of different sources, but they kind of vary in their accounts. One account said that the call was made to his wife. The other said it was made to his wife, but she in turn three-way called his brother. His brother doesn't answer, and this was the message left on his brother's voicemail. It's kind of confusing, but either way,
it's a little confusing.
No matter what it is, it's one of the most disturbing things I've ever heard.
Somebody's being killed.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question there, but the very next day, Kareen files a missing persons report with the Moundsview Police Department. Remember, she's back in California at this time. She did tell police that she had been in touch with that JT guy and that he told her that Henry had left the club about 10 minutes before 2 o'clock in the morning. So we're looking at 1:50 here. And she also found out from JT that Henry had gotten a ride home from William Kennedy. So William was the first person that the cops spoke with. William actually took the police to that Super America gas station. And in fact, he pointed to the very spot where he had dropped off Henry. However, it was later determined through security footage that Henry was actually dropped off at a Holiday gas station off Central and Hackman Avenue in Fridley. Now, was that just an innocent mistake or something else?
Something stinks.
Now, I will say this, Ryan, and you live in Minnesota, and I think you're familiar with both of those gas stations. I will say that those two gas stations look very similar to each other. They're both red, white, and blue. That might be an easy mistake to make. You're giving me the side eye right now. You don't think so?
But he was so sure he took them to where he dropped the guy off.
Yeah. And these gas stations
like,
are a
few
miles apart.
You don't stand in a spot and go, maybe this isn't right. Like, you're talking to police officers. If you give a shit, you're going to get your shit straight so that you can actually help find this guy. I don't like that.
I agree with you, by the way. So police had also pulled Henry's phone records. And sure enough, his phone had pinged a cell phone tower near the Holiday gas station at 1:58 a.m. Plus,
yeah, camera footage and a location.
Yeah. But his phone never pinged another tower again after that.
Ominous.
In the days after the mysterious phone call, Henry was nowhere to be found, almost like he had vanished into thin air. There were several searches in the immediate area, but no trace of Henry was spotted. And at first, his wife, Corrine, she did not know what to think about this voicemail. And now that Henry was nowhere to be found, she discussed with authorities that she thought at first maybe he was cheating on her and had now run off and he was hiding somewhere else, maybe on the East Coast, she said. But as the days kept going on and there were no signs of Henry, Corrine started to get much more worried. And so was the Moundsview Police Department. Chief Thomas Kinney stated at the time, quote, "I just want to stress that anyone with information on Henry come forward with any information. If they are reluctant to do so for whatever their reasons are, we would work with them," end quote. On November 2nd, 2 months after Henry's disappearance, a kayaker on Rush Lake in the town of New Brighton, Minnesota, 3.5 miles east of where Henry was last spotted at that Holiday gas station, found a body alongside the lake. After forensics were performed and dental records were checked, that body was identified as 32-year-old Henry McCabe. And found on him were his cell phone, which was in his pocket, his wedding ring on his finger, and a VIP wristband from the club he went to the night he went missing, still attached to his wrist. And based off the voicemail you just heard, Ryan, you're probably wondering, what did he look like? Because that's the first thing
absolutely.
I thought of.
Absolutely. That... Fuck the wristband. Tell me what happened.
Yeah. I mean, was his face still intact? Like, were his body parts gone?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had to use dental records to verify that it was him.
Well, I had thought maybe he had even been attacked or eaten by animals afterwards or something, you know. But in short, none of that had happened. He didn't look like he was attacked by an animal. He didn't look like he had been stabbed or shot or even tortured. None of the above. In fact, the autopsy would later show no signs of trauma.
What? Okay.
This is weird.
It is weird. And I kind of... I see why they've been analyzing this recording.
Yeah. Because it
sounds
like he's...
like there's some nasty shit happening on the other end of the phone.
Right. Like just some of the most horrible shit that you've ever seen in a movie. Or it feels like it's from the movie Saw or something, if you've ever seen those
Literally,
movies.
That's like, that's what I was seeing in my head. It's just like Antichrist, Saw, Hostel, all the shit I wish I could unsee.
All of that combined into
brought
one.
To life.
Yeah. Well, I should tell you this. By the time that police found Henry, remember, this is 2 months after he went missing, his body had been significantly decomposed, which that does, but that does lead one to think that maybe whatever trauma he could have suffered was no longer apparent by the time he got to the morgue. Capiche? Okay. Because if he did suffer life-threatening injuries, it could have been lost due to the sheer amount of time he was exposed to the elements. Now, a liver analysis also showed that he had a blood alcohol content of 0.053. So he had booze in his body, but that's not fall over and blackout kind of drunk.
No. Maybe, I mean, maybe the recording is just him vomiting. I don't know. Because I heard somebody in the background. Now, it's very quiet. So it sounds like that you said, sounds like there's more than one person.
To me, it does.
And I saw, I thought I heard someone say something, something, call the police.
Yeah. And I think
now,
other people.
Whether
have...
they're saying, do call the police or don't call the police, like whatever they're saying, it ended where it sounded like there was discussion happening.
Yeah. And that's an interesting way to look at it. Well, and we'll get back to that. We'll circle back around. But the initial cause of death by the New Brighton Police Department listed it as a probable drowning. And that's what it's listed as to this very day, almost 9 years later. Probable drowning, pending new information going forward. That's weird. So how about we get into the theories here?
Okay.
Theory number one, Henry McCabe drowned. Case closed. Well,
right.
Maybe he was so drunk that he blacked out. He ended up in the water and drowned. Now, I would say this
theory is possible,
but also dubious at best. I mean, Henry's family said he was a pretty good swimmer. And remember, his body was found 3.5 miles from where he was last spotted, meaning that he would have had to have walked that far. And he probably would have sobered up quite a bit in 3.5 miles. And again, his blood alcohol was 0.053, which is lower than the legal limit to drive in Minnesota. So it's not, again, it's not like he was pass out, blackout drunk.
I'm pulling up a map of Minnesota. I want to see where these places are.
Yeah, I actually looked at a map and there are a number of lakes around there, right?
So we are.
Yeah, it's Rush Lake. And when you look at that, Ryan, you'll notice that he would have actually had to walk around another lake just to get to Rush Lake. Again, this is 3.5 miles that he walked. If he was in a drunken stupor, I don't really see that happening.
Yeah, there's a cluster of them.
Isn't that weird?
Rush Lake is huge, too.
Yeah, it is pretty big. Okay, so there's the drowning theory. That's one of them. Theory number two, the wild animal theory. And that one's fairly self-explanatory. This theory says that a wild animal of some sort attacked Henry near Rush Lake, and it scared the bejesus out of him so much so that he somehow fell into the water where he would eventually drown. I've lived in this part of Minnesota before. You're from Minnesota. What kind of wild animal in the Twin Cities metro do you think could attack a man like that and force him into the lake? A mountain lion, a coyote, wolves?
In the metro?
Exactly.
Maybe the fucking turkeys. The turkeys are pretty weird up there.
Well, and it's funny because
they're not afraid of shit.
Right? They aren't at all. They are badass.
I'm about as scared of turkeys in the cities as I am geese.
I was just going to say, geese are frightening.
Yeah, that's why the Canadians are so docile.
Right.
They're actually being oppressed by the Canadian goose population.
So I saw a number of people on Reddit saying, hey, maybe it was wolves. Well, wolves live in Minnesota, but not that far south.
No.
Not to mention...
maybe in Ely.
Yeah, way up in the north. But when was the last time you actually heard about a wolf attack? Or a coyote attack? That does not happen hardly ever. Wolves don't attack people. They just don't. Maybe in the movies and stuff, but not in real life.
Or if it's rabid, I mean, maybe.
Yeah, maybe if it's rabid. But again, I mean, there's not many instances
that, the likelihood
of that.
Is really low.
Yeah, and mountain lions have been spotted in Minnesota, but they're not very common. And especially in the Twin Cities metro, I don't see that. Another person mentioned that, hey, maybe it was a deer, which at first made me laugh because the noises in that voice from a deer attack.
Skinwalkers.
That must
bringing
have been
it back.
The most badass deer of all time. Although,
that's
you know what?
Scary deer.
We just talked about deer recently and we saw them do some crazy things.
That's why I said bringing it back. I was like, oh, that's right. We were talking about deer eating the feathers off of birds and consuming meat.
Or the one you
fulfill their insatiable desire for blood.
What was your deer story? Oh, yeah, the deer that stomped the rabbit. Yeah.
Yeah, now, fucking could, annihilated the thing.
Could a deer do that to Henry McCabe?
If he was fucking around trying to find out, maybe.
If he was like lying down drunk, maybe. I don't know, but. Now, deer can get.
A deer in the woods. That would be a trip.
Right.
Like a fever dream of what is happening right now.
Deer can get territorial. When they feel threatened. And they can even make some weird noises, but again,
kind of huff.
They can like squeal and stuff. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they make a number of different sounds. The chuffing
and
the stomping when they stomp their hooves and they're warning you to back off.
Okay, so I think we can agree the wild animal theory is probably not likely, right?
It's pretty unlikely, yeah.
The Kareen theory. Kareen, remember, was in California. And she was actually getting ready to move back to California. Sounds like Henry wasn't. Divorce, maybe?
Oh.
Now, also, Kareen had been
I'm starting to wonder about this guy's reputation in the area.
Town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. And
it's been a creeping question of how what was this man's character? Because I'd like to know what kind of enemies someone could make who has aspirations to go into politics like that.
And he had been known to do some shady things. And Kareen had
He'll fit right in. Right.
Kareen had actually been tracking his phone apparently for several years. And she allegedly called him a habitual cheater. She would even go as far as remote into his phone to see what he was up to on many occasions.
That's some nasty trust issues.
Right? It does not sound
but
like a
probably
healthy...
not unwarranted.
With this guy? Yeah.
I'll be perfectly honest. Usually when a wife starts acting crazy, I start looking at men. I'm like, what did you do, though?
There's got to be where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Yes. Yes. There are signs. And sometimes they trickle into every little. It could be in the way you approach a sentence.
Yeah.
In how you conduct yourself in trying to find out what's going on, like whether you are confrontational or if you have to sneak around to figure it out, because been there.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, there's definitely some validity to that. And even the day that he ended up going missing, she had actually been tracking his phone that day, I guess. And she had also texted him some upsetting stuff saying that she knew he was cheating, which again, by the way, he was. There were several women, including a woman named Precious, who he had been cheating with recently, who Corrine had confronted this woman when they were together. And I guess it got pretty ugly. So there's the Corrine theory, but I don't really, I mean, yes, he was cheating on her. Yes, it was an unhealthy relationship. But also, I mean, why would you think she would have him killed? It sounds like she's just been horribly upset that he's been messing around on her. I guess maybe.
I feel like I need more details on that stuff, but yeah. I don't know if we can really speculate because my brain wants to fill in every hole and create all kinds of elaborate theoretical situations. But realistically, I can't even assume to know what was going on.
There's also the suicide theory. And some have mentioned this. Again, I would say pretty unlikely given the fact that his closest family members said he had no history of depression or mental health issues.
A man who wants to be president is probably not going to be killing himself.
Yeah. It was also said that he had recently got a bad review at work. And some of his coworkers said that he would bring his personal life into the workplace. But honestly, who hasn't at one point or another, right? I mean, it's almost inevitable sometimes.
We're not robots. We're people. Yeah. We got baggage.
Plus, if he did want to kill himself, drowning is usually at the bottom of a person who wants to unalive themselves list.
It's kind of a shitty way to go.
Like, for me, that would be right up there with burning alive.
Being on fire. Yes.
Yeah.
See? Right. Yeah. Great minds.
Yeah. No, thank you. No, thank
That's
you.
That's fucking miserable.
Yeah. So I don't know how I feel about any of these theories, which, of course, led me to Reddit. Good old Reddit. You can always find something on Reddit.
I've never been on Reddit.
Oh my God.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Well, it was an accident if I ended up on one of their thread posts. Like, what does the rest of this thread say? And then I'll click on it. It takes me over there. I'm like, I got to get out of there. I can't. I can't handle it sometimes.
Feels like a good tagline for Reddit. I have never been on Reddit. On purpose. Let me read to you some of the more interesting Reddit theories.
Okay.
This one is from LeatherFail2106, who says, Henry was driven to where he was found. The voicemail was recorded at 2:28 a.m. and his body was found 6 miles away from where he was supposedly dropped off by his friend. Actually, 3 miles away. But anyway, there is no way he walked there. His friend lied about where he dropped him off, and it wasn't until police found footage from the other gas station that he changed his story. It could be that he only pretended to drop him off and waited until he walked away from potential cameras to pick him back up. The voicemail sounds like he's being pushed underwater. So, first of all, it was 3.5 miles away, not 6. I know we're splitting hairs here, but
that's a big difference if you're walking.
I also find it a little hard to believe that the person would intentionally drop him off and then wait until he got away from the cameras and pick him back up. I don't know.
It's hard to get a grown man into a car involuntarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you have them bound and gagged. I'm sure it would still be difficult because that's a heavy... Like, how big was this guy?
Yeah, he was... I mean, he looked like he was probably close to 200 pounds, I would say.
So he's not small.
No. Well, what about this one? Baby Betch said...
Please say it again.
Baby Betch... Baby Betch said. Baby Betch said, ugh, this one is on my top 10 list I want solved. It's so frustrating. The voicemail is terrifying. But there's two things that really bother me. The two quote-unquote friends he was last seen with. They're out drinking and whatnot. The one friend takes Henry's keys and wallet, apparently so he couldn't buy any more drinks. Then the second friend, who supposedly was driving Henry home, drops him off at a random gas station. Mind you, Henry has no wallet, no money, and no keys to even get in his house. Please tell me what kind of friend would drop off a highly intoxicated person at a random gas station a good ways away from their house. Police check the surveillance video of the gas station the friend supposedly left Henry at, and they never went to that particular gas station that night. The friend later said, well, maybe it would have been the other gas station. Very suspicious. This is what I remember off the top of my head about this case. I don't believe the friends were considered suspects.
Oh, interesting.
I think Baby Betch has a point. Why haven't these friends been looked into? Because you and I said, we both said two things that would make you think that there was multiple people involved. A, I thought I heard numerous people in the background in that voicemail. And you said it sounded like maybe he had been gagged. Well,
it also was weird when his friend was like, oh yeah, he gave me his wallet and keys. That immediately is a red flag to me.
Yeah.
You are now a suspect.
Well, and then it was the other friend who said he told me to drop him off at a gas station. I don't think anybody else has corroborated that.
And he dropped him off at a different gas station than he showed the police.
Right.
You are also now a suspect. This seems like it should be pretty cut and dry. Why are we not looking into those people?
I don't know.
But I will admit, Baby Betch has a point in going as far to say, if you're dropping off your friend and they do not have their wallet or their keys.
Yeah.
Why would you drop them off at a gas station and not at their house, even if they do have to break into their own house to get into it? Maybe other guy had the keys and the wallet and stayed behind. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Where I'm going with this.
I know what you're
like,
saying. And
it's a little fishy all around. Everything is kind of smelling funky.
So far, I would say this one is the most likely. There is one more thing that I read.
The theory of him drowning or the theory that his friends are shady as fuck?
Yeah, the theory that his friends had something to do with his death. Just the wallet, the gas station issues, it just doesn't add up to me. And I know it's circumstantial, and maybe that's why the police have not arrested either of these suspects yet. They're waiting to get some hard evidence. That would be my guess.
I kind of want to listen to the recording again.
Yeah.
With all that new information.
Well, and before we finish this up and you can listen to it again, let's get one more idea here. I think part of me was just delaying this because of this person's screen name.
You're dangling the carrot for me. Like, come on, bite.
It's an even more interesting screen name than the Baby Betch one. This one comes from Buttery Buttwind.
I have visuals, and I'm not sure if that's what I want from that.
But you know what? I think Buttery Buttwind makes a good point here, Ryan. So Buttery goes on to say, quote, with the body being too decomposed to determine an injury and his insistence he had been shot, I think he was likely shot, maybe by one of his friends. The motive is murky unless McCabe had been stepping out on the missus or if there was some kind of other dispute. This is all speculation, mind you, but I think the timeline goes as follows. And by the way, rewind quick. some people in that audio recording think that he said he had been shot. I didn't hear that in the recording. But again, all the more reason to listen to it multiple times, even though it's creepy. Here's what he thinks the timeline is. McCabe goes to the club, gets hammered drunk. On the way back, they take McCabe somewhere else, secluded, and shoot him. Likely where the body was found, judging by no mention of blood or anything in the friend's vehicle. Then the friends debate on what to do with the body while McCabe bleeds and moans. The friends take the wallet and keys to make it look like a robbery. McCabe finds his cell phone, then calls Corrine. Call ends. McCabe loses consciousness. The friends notice that McCabe is still alive, but bleeding out into the water where he eventually aspirated enough water to drown. Again, this is wild speculation based on what little evidence we have. I would love to hear an interview with the wife or the friends to see what, if any, motive there could be. Otherwise, we may never know what happened to that man. I don't think he has all of it right, but I think he's on the right track.
That's pretty good. Like, he does hit some good points.
I don't think he shot him, but I think it's a mixture of what we said and what he said. I think maybe he had the phone call, called his wife while he was being gagged and maybe beaten.
Well, shit, he could have butt dialed her.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, you know, laying around, like rolling around on the ground, if you've been tied up and your phone's in your pocket, which is kind of weird. Like, yeah. How did they not think to take his phone?
Maybe they put it in his pocket. I don't know. Maybe they planted it on him on purpose. I'm not sure. But either way, I think this guy's onto something, or gal is onto something. And I think he was bound and gagged and they had him by the lake. And that's where he was beaten and then fell into the water and maybe aspirated and drowned. That would be my guess. Much more likely than the Bigfoot theory that I didn't even go over with you.
What?
We're not going to talk about the Bigfoot theory.
There's a Bigfoot theory? Yeah. You shitting me?
We already did an entire episode.
We've done this before.
On Bigfoot. We're not doing Bigfoot again.
You get this one thing straight, young lady. I only cover topic once, but murder is forever.
Ooh, that's a good tagline. You're full of taglines tonight. Wow. So there we go. The case of the enigma that was Henry McCabe. Crazy story. I had never heard about it, and it was in Minnesota when I was living there. It is weird, though. And I think it's the phone call, the voicemail, that has kind of made this case live in infamy. But if I had to guess, I would say that law enforcement has probably thought of all of the things we have. And again, they just don't have any hard evidence against these
and
guys
nobody,
right now.
Nobody cares. Mm-hmm.
But if you care to tell us what you think about this case, what your theories are, who you think may have done it. Maybe there was something we didn't talk about that you're screaming at your phone right now. Oh my God, how did you guys miss this? Let us know on our socials. And you can do so by finding us on Instagram, Unnatural the Podcast, Facebook, Unnatural a True Crime Podcast, or send us a Gmail, unnaturalthepodcast@gmail.com. And make sure to like, follow, and rate us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we will talk to you next time. And in the meantime, be sure to make good choices.
And don't get got.
time, be sure to make good choices.
Try again.
You jumped the gun.
You paused.
What?
I was so ready.
You were like over. Are you that kid that, like, when you were running a race in elementary school and they were like, on your marks, get set. And then you started going before they said go, or?
No, I'm just an anxious overthinker.
Okay. And in the meantime, be sure to make good choices.
And don't get got.
There you go. But you know what? I think Buttery Buttwind makes a good point here, Ryan.
Say it in your radio voice.
I think Buttery Buttwind makes a good point.
No, the dark chocolate one.
I think Buttery Buttwind makes a really good point. Now let's hear from Buttery Buttwind. Well... No signs of trauma.
What?
I was waiting for you to say the what, because that's where I'm going to put the break.
What?
Because I knew there was going to be a what, or you were going to have some sort of reaction. I'm like, okay, I say it, now I'm waiting. Isn't that weird?
Now you get to cut it off right after me whispering, what?
Yeah, yep.
Brilliant. Genius, I say.
Genius! This, to me, by far, is the most likely thing that happened out of all of the things that we've discussed so far. Wouldn't you say?
Hold on, I want to verify. I was thinking you were about to tell me something else.
No, the thing we just talked about.
Got it. Yeah. I was like, yes.
I could totally see why you would think that. Like I'm about to say the thing.
Yeah.
And before we finish this up and you can listen to it again, let's get one more idea here. And this one...
See, I fucking knew you had one more in your pocket. Why did I feel like you had more to say? Go on. Rush Lake is huge, too.
Yeah, it is pretty big.
That's what she said.